Welcome to Wine About History. I'm your host, Max Hamill, and with me as always is Patty.
Hello, everyone.
And today we are discussing the greatest general who ever lived.
Wow.
Sabutai.
That's saying something. That is. Because there have been a lot of generals.
There have been a lot of generals, but this one has earned this rank because he is, he's the reason he's considered is because he helped the Mongols conquer so much land. He was instrumental in creating one of the largest land empires that ever existed.
Okay, and to celebrate this conversation, what wine are we drinking tonight on Wine About History?
Radius 2018 Washington State Cabernet Sauvignon. I like the decal on the bottle.
Yeah.
And then, so it is... It says, as aroma of flavors of currant, black cherry, and red jam fruit. I will be honest, the first sip, it was like someone wrapped their fist in currants and punched it into my mouth.
Wow.
That was my first reaction.
It
was a strong reaction.
It was a strong reaction. It might be, this wine might be a little young for, you know, it's only 2 years old. Maybe it needs a little more time in the bottle to... That noise in the background is Max's dog
trying to make a
little
deceased.
Nest in the background. Hear a little jangling of his tags. But he wants to be part of the show, so he can't help himself.
Yes, he can.
So the wine, yeah, it's, I like it, but it might be a little, it might be a baby wine. It might need to grow up
a
little
bit. It is 2018, yeah. The acidity's a little too high, but I do like it.
Yeah.
The texture's...
somewhat velvety.
Mm-hmm.
Just, yeah, not a lot of tannins develop, like I know what I'm talking about, but you know what I mean.
It's just
a baby. It just needs to grow up a little, but I think it'll be good when it gets older. But anyway, okay, so back to Subital.
Here's a quote from the secret history of the Mongols.
Can I just ask what year this was we're talking here? How far back are we going?
So it was the 1100s.
Okay, that's a long
to the 1200s.
Okay.
But Genghis Khan's young name was Temujin, which meant Iron Man.
Oh.
So, this quote is from the secret history of the Mongols. They are the four dogs of Temujin. They have four heads of brass. Their jaws are like scissors. Their tongues are like piercing awls. Their heads are of iron. Their whipping tail swords. In the day of battle, they devour the enemy flesh. Behold, they are now unleashed, and they slobber at the mouth with glee. These four dogs are Jebai, Kublai, Jami, and Sabutai.
Wow. That's pretty fierce.
Yeah, and by the way, an awl, for those who don't know, is a metal spike made for piercing leather.
Okay.
Random fun fact. So he was actually Genghis Khan's military advisor. Now, I am taking for granted that you know who the Mongols are, dear listener. That you know how fearsome they were, and their general culture. But for those of you who don't, quick recap, they were a massive nomadic people from Asia, still are quite nomadic, and they were incredibly good horsemen, and they fought on horseback using bows and arrows. In fact, they used bows and arrows made out of antlers, and this allowed them to spring back. Had a lot of force.
And now he's chewing up a pillow.
So that was the pinnacle of technology at the time. So anyways,
A little distracted by Max's dog who's eating a pillow.
Sabutai was Genghis Khan's favorite military advisor, but he was not born a Mongol. He was born in 1176, and he was born in the neighboring tribe of forest-dwelling blacksmiths and fur traders, and they were related to the Mongols. So, when Sabutai's father, Qaban began to trade with the Mongols, he brought Subutai, and at the age of 14, he met Temujin and joined his army. Now, despite being a blacksmith's son, many times back then they were, you know, most cultures back then were very, very, very class-based. You know, nobles stuck with nobles, this and that. But because their life, way of life was so brutal, they were very much a meritocracy.
A what?
A meritocracy.
And what is that?
You rise up on merit.
Okay.
So how hard you work, how clever you are, that sort of thing.
Oh, that's right.
So he proved himself in his first campaign against the Merit people. Before this, he fought and served as distinction. He was actually one of Genghis Khan's door guards. But this is one of his first leadership roles. Now, he had a bunch of troops, and the Merit people are nomadic people related to the Mongols, not too dissimilar from them. Now, but he was going to have a hard time fighting them. So Genghis Khan said, "Do you want any other troops?" He said, "No." Instead, he walked in to the enemy camp and said that he was a deserter. And he convinced them that he was to be trusted, the Mongol army was far away, and that he should be, you know, just listened to, his advice should be listened to. So the Merkit lowered their guard, and they were foolish enough to believe him. The Mongol army swept in and defeated them.
Wow.
So he, you know, and then after he united the Mongolian people, Genghis Khan went south to conquer China, specifically Zhejiang and Jin China. And Subutai innovated brilliant maneuvering tactics. For instance, he would split his army, big armies up and control them from afar. He would let his enemies chase him, then run his horses around until they were almost dead and flank them.
Wow.
He would use literal smoke screens to hide his movements. One of his greatest tactics was psychological warfare. He would slaughter whole cities if their leaders did not surrender. Ooh. I mean, whole cities. This is one of the reasons the Mongols are still so feared and have such an impact in culture.
Okay, so I have to ask a question. You know, the movie Mulan is coming out right now.
Yes.
And I obviously haven't seen it yet because it hasn't started streaming yet, but I did watch the cartoon. Is that mean bad guy leader kind of based on Genghis Khan?
I think he's Shan Yu and he's a Hun.
Okay.
And the Huns were they were all, you know, warriors from the steppe. A nomadic horse raiders have been a problem for Eastern Europe and just Asia for forever and a day.
Okay, so different bad guy.
Different bad guy, different culture, very similar.
Okay. I was hoping maybe it was similar.
Very
just
similar.
To give me a frame of reference.
There's a great frame, frame of reference. So, fun fact, Genghis Khan just went around the Great Wall.
Seriously?
He just went around it.
So they built this huge wall and he was like, okay.
He just went around it. Because it's not really a big wall. That nice special part that you see in postcards, that's only part of it. It's really just a big road. A lot of places it's just piled earth.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
Because he want the Chinese emperor wanted a road for his troops to run on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've heard parts of it are just like a regular old road for the most part. It's not always this cool wall.
Yeah.
Of course, I've never been there. I want to go there, but...
Meh.
Someday. Really?
Meh.
Oh, I think it'd be cool. I think it'd be stunning to see it.
I'm sure it is stunning. In fact, part of me does want to see it, but at the same time, meh.
Really?
Meh.
Oh, no way. I think it'd be awesome. I hear it's a hike to get out there, though.
Another reason not to go.
I think you should go. Someday.
So, for instance, in the Mongol invasion of Jin in 2032, what he would do is he would use these feints. So he would have, you know, men run in and stop and then run away. And then the real army would come out of nowhere. And then they'd run away again. And it was so confusing. The Jin army actually starved to death because they got lost and couldn't fight them. Parts of the army were isolated and starved.
Interesting tactic. Mm-hmm.
So he was instrumental in defeating the Jurchens, the Jin, the Bulgars, the Rus, the Russians, the Hungarians, the Georgians, the Cumans, and helped the Mongol Empire become, as I said, the greatest land empire in the history of the world.
Wow, that's saying something.
Now, after Genghis Khan defeated Jin, China, he died. And Subutai served his son Ogedei.
Okay.
And this was written in the 1230s or so, this happened. Now, Ogedei, like his father, wanted to expand the empire.
Sure.
So he sent his relative, I think maybe it was half-brother or cousin, Prince Batu, to conquer Russia. Now, Russia, what like back then, was not Russia now. It wasn't a unified country. It was a bunch of principalities that had the idea of being Russia, more or less. So what he did is he ignored fortified towns and castles, decimated the surrounding area so they would starve.
Nice.
And Subutai and Batu clashed a couple times because he was a prince. Mm-hmm. But Subutai was one of the greatest generals who ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, and one thing he did is he led one of the princes on a 9-day chase where he let the prince chase them and they ambushed him.
And which also, prince are we talking about?
There were so many princes, you actually lose count.
Like a mongrel?
Oh, Russian prince.
Oh, Russian princes. One of the Russian princes. Oh, okay. I think I'm following you now.
He defeated some of the more powerful ones at the Battle of Kalka. And they surrendered to him, but he didn't care. He had them laid down, covered them in planks and rugs, and he and his leaders partied on them until they were smothered to death.
Oh, God.
By the way, that's nothing. That is absolutely nothing compared to half the other things he did.
Ew.
That's just one example of his psychological warfare.
Well, I think he's kind of a mean guy.
He was a psychopathic monster.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, flat out. And if you're Mongolian and you're listening to this and go, hey, Max, no, he was a psychopathic monster. Most conquerors were.
Yeah, I think so.
It's in the job description. Going to slaughter whole cities because I want more land.
It's either you or me, and it ain't going to be me.
Well, people were so desperate to live back then. I mean,
yeah,
most people were subsistence farmer, one bad crop from starving to death.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had a good leader that could conquer, people were like, do it, do it. We're not going to starve to death if we conquer people and take their stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you can kind of understand.
Most raids weren't for gold. They were for food.
But partying sheep. On top of people, that's mean. Oh, yeah, no, this guy was mean.
Next level.
That's kind of unnecessary. Unnecessarily harsh.
The Mongols were famous for coming up with different ways to torture people to death.
Oh, that's great.
They were the East's version of Vikings.
Okay.
Only slightly more evil. They would behead people for being taller than a wagon wheel. Because Genghis Khan didn't like tall people. They couldn't ride horses as long.
Oh, jeez. That makes no sense.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a heightist.
He was a heightist. That's heightism, man.
Anyways, back to Subutai. So, he took advantage of the quarreling princes, because all these princes were fighting. Kind of like, keep in mind, folks, Game of Thrones isn't anything compared to real life history, but it's accurate, because all these lords and nobles and princes and kings were constantly bickering. And then someone would come out of nowhere and conquer them all. It's exactly what happened in 1066 at the Battle of Hastings, but that's for another episode.
So it was just a battle just to stay alive back then.
It was, every day. It still is. We used to have it nicer in America.
Well,
a lot of countries.
So is that all? So how did he die?
Oh, we're not even done yet.
We're still talking about
so, him. Early, this was his return campaign to Europe, by the way. So he conquered them in 1240. And another example, he went all the way to Hungary, the Balkans, Georgia, Bulgaria, all these places. Here's an example of how smart he was. This is the Battle of Mohi. The Hungarians were smart. They pinned him against a river and rained crossbow bolts. Now, crossbows were very, very, very powerful. In fact, they're so powerful you can't pull them back like in the movies. You have to actually take a winch or some sort of cocking device and pull it back, it can take 500 pounds of pressure to cock it. So, and it shoots out, and it's great for range fighting. They're just not very accurate is the problem. Well, the Hungarians are raining down crossbow boats, and Batu and Sabotai are arguing. So I said, enough. Bring up the siege equipment. And they use their catapults to dismantle and cause disorder in the ranks of the crossbowmen. Mm-hmm. Then he had a secret bridge built on this uncrossable river. And from there, he had his men sneak across, flank them, and wipe out the whole army.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, it was like the eighth time he did it.
Wow.
He won 20 campaigns, 65 pitched battles. Pitched battles being you might actually lose.
He was somewhat unstoppable.
He was. Here's another, for instance. Georgia, the country, not the state. Georgia is now it's owned by Russia, I think.
It might be its own deal.
Didn't they just invade it and take it over or something?
No.
That was like Ukraine.
I
do not pay attention to the news. I read history books if you can't notice. But
no, I think Georgia's still Georgia.
But the Pope got mad at the nobles there and wrote them, what's going on? And they said, oh, we don't have an army. The Mongols killed them all. There was no surrender.
Wow. Boy, wouldn't want to meet this guy.
No. No, in fact, there's a not period rendering, but an ancient rendering of him. Mm-hmm. And he just looks like a dick. He's got this evil smirk on his face, like, I kill everybody. So, like I said, there's a lot of arguing between Batu and Sabotai, but Batu always apologized to Sabotai and said, you're who you are, and the old war dog always won. Now, he did have some defeats, but he's smart enough to learn from them. And the horde was actually ready to attack the Holy Roman Empire. Now, there's some debate whether or not they would have conquered Northern Europe, but now Northern Europe sucked so much. This is not a joke. I think it sucked so much they would have given them a run for their money. Because wherever Northern Europeans went after the Viking Age, everyone went, holy crap, these people are insane. Because life is so brutal. In fact, at that time, Northern Europe was probably one of the worst places in the world to live.
Ooh.
Until the Renaissance, from the fall of the Roman Empire to the Renaissance, Europe was really bad. It was a really, really bad place to live. Now, there's some debate about this. Well, it was on par with some places, absolutely was. But consistently throughout history, whenever Northern European knights went to, say, the Crusades or helped these people in the Byzantine Empire over here or whatever, they were reviled by how ruthless and tough they were.
Hmm.
So, but it doesn't matter. Because it's all speculation anyways. I think they would have conquered the Holy Roman Empire, but I think they would have had problems in France and Germany. But that's my own opinion that I won't get into now. Because Ogedai died, and Batu had to return for the political council to choose the new Khan, called the Korotai. That is when Sabotai retired. There's some debate on where he retired. Like some historians say he moved out west so he could see Russia and all the lands he conquered. Some people say he said he stayed in Kambulak to advise the new Khans.
So he got to retire.
Yeah, at 72 he died in 1248.
He got to retire after doing all that.
Yeah. Probably
he got to live and retire.
Oh, it gets better because back then he probably was like on top of the world, had everything he ever wanted.
Well, good for him, I guess. Wow. And he lived, 72.
Back then.
I mean, that's not bad today.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, oh my gosh. So I guess he had it all, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, usually you hear about those generals, you know, dying young, getting killed in action, or no, not this guy.
This guy got away with it. So, Yeah, I had heard about him staying the Mongols when I was younger, and then I was just looking up interesting people. Because I do this for fun somewhat. But it is a little bit of a hassle to sit down and research some of these people. But every once in a while, I'll come across someone, I become kind of consumed by them. That's what happened here.
I could see that.
Yeah, it was really, really interesting.
I never even heard of him till now, so, yeah.
No, indeed.
Any other thoughts on him before we
sign off? Yeah, if you are interested in him, there's tons of great YouTube videos that go into him in far more detail than I have, simply because this is supposed to be a quick in-and-out podcast where we just have a quick conversation, 15, 20 minutes, give you the breakdown, anyone's recommended him, it's really rewarding to read about him or listen to him on internet lectures.
Do you think any generals have studied him?
Oh, yes.
I mean, to like learn from his tactics.
Russian generals studied him during World War II. American generals studied him recently in the 20th century. Most people have. Most people have researched him out of sheer practicality.
Yeah, I could see that.
His maneuvering tactics were truly, I read about some of them, and they were too detailed to get into it. Otherwise, because you could literally go on about him for about an hour. Many people have written books on him. So, right. So
that'll do it for us tonight?
Yes, that'll do it for us. And I know you're wondering, Max, you've promised us a website, a Patreon, all this stuff. I'm working on it. The real issue is I'm trying to find which website to commit to and what the best thing is for you guys. Not just for me. Trying to do the best thing possible. And that's taken a minute to decide. The Patreon, I'm just too lazy to set up. I have to type things in. It's such a hassle.
Gosh, it's so much work.
This is a guy who worked 50-hour shifts.
Somebody do it for me.
Doing manual labor.
Well, we'll get there.
I will.
We will get there.
So, remember,
if it weren't for history, we wouldn't be here.